To stab or be stabbed. To thrust a knife or a pointed weapon into someone so as to wound or kill. To make a thrusting gesture or movement at something with a pointed object. To violently pierce. A story I will share with you this Tuesday. Have you ever woken up and thought, today could be my last? I often wonder when people die suddenly, do they ever have any idea that they were going to die that day? It's not like we can ask them now. A regular Sunday, just like any other. An unsuspecting mother of two. A waiter getting ready for his evening shift. A depressed and chaotic superstar. A lawyer and a best friend who laughs with his family. And two lives that will never wake up to see the very next day. This is the first part of our story today, and this is the murder of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman. Tuesdays with Trisha, episode 21, part 1. Welcome to Brentwood, California. Brentwood is known as one of the wealthiest areas of Los Angeles. Its population is roughly 235,000 people that are peppered over the years with affluent professionals, political figures, and celebrities. People like Harrison Ford, Steve McQueen, Cindy Crawford, Gwyneth Paltrow, Marilyn Monroe, and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Our story starts out today with Nicole Brown Simpson, who was born on May 19th, 1959, in Frankfurt, Germany. Her mother, Juditha Brown, was German and met Nicole's father, Louis Brown, while he was working as a correspondent in Germany. He was American. The couple had married and eventually moved back to the U.S. and lived a happy life in California. Nicole had five siblings that she grew up with, and she ended up attending Dana Hills High School, where she became homecoming princess her senior year. She was smart, happy, beautiful, and very sexy to all the men and women in her life. She was described as the blonde bombshell at the time, and most people said when Nicole walked into a room, you couldn't help but stare. She was just that captivating. When Nicole turned 18, she decided to start working as a waitress in the Beverly Hills area for an elite club called the Daisy. She had also been interested in modeling and photography and took small gigs here and there, and she had also just enrolled in Saddleback College to pursue her interests. Nicole was working one evening at the Daisy when a celebrity walked in. Now, of course, I think a lot of celebrities walked in around that time, so she didn't really pay much mind and just kept working. But unbeknownst to Nicole, that celebrity someone had noticed her. And soon Nicole found herself being introduced to football and Hollywood star O.J. Simpson. The two immediately fell in love. Nicole had just adored and loved everything about O.J. He was her life, and the same went for O.J. He adored Nicole. And around the time that OJ had actually met Nicole, he was kind of going through a hard time personally himself. His first marriage to Marguerite Whitney was failing, basically, and he did end up divorcing her in 1979. And then him and Nicole, when they started dating, they started living together kind of like right away. And then soon after, she ended up quitting the Daisy because OJ kind of wanted, you know, his girl to be by his side. If anything, he demanded it. The couple eventually married in 1985, and soon Nicole was pregnant with a baby girl. They named her Sydney. And 3 years later, they had a baby boy and named him Justin. All seemed happy and wonderful in the Simpson family. I guess, for, you know, from the lavish house in Brentwood to a beachfront home in Laguna. They had matching couple Ferraris, for God's sakes. You know, the kids were healthy, and on the outside, it looked like your picturesque family Hollywood home. But deep, dark clouds hung over this couple like the Black Plague. Nicole may have had all these materialistic things, but it came at a price for her, an abusive price. It was reported by many friends and family that things weren't all that swell in the Simpson household. OJ was, for one, very controlling, and the couple fought like cats and dogs. And it's reported, actually, that through the years, Nicole called the police 8 times on OJ, each time crying to the 911 operator that he was out of control. Either he was screaming at her or throwing things. He hit her often. And that resulted in abusive reports that were filed, so domestic violence. And it showed, actually, that Nicole had physical bruising on her body and face at times. This included a black eye and even a busted lip. And I'm being mild, you guys, when I'm sharing, like, really everything that was going on. These were all signs of, and just major physical evidence of abuse going on here. Yet, unfortunately, everyone around the couple kind of kept quiet. No one said anything. Well, they may have said something to OJ or Nicole privately, but never did anyone report it. So the couple continued, and so did the abuse. Finally, in 1992, the couple got a divorce. And I think, you know, both of them genuinely tried to move on. Maybe Nicole more so than OJ. Because it looks like the more time of separation, the more OJ became obsessed with Nicole. Reports say he would stalk her house. He would drive by and show up unannounced or unexpected, oftentimes in a fit of rage. Other times he'd be civil and loving. And it was hard for Nicole to probably not fall back into his trap. I mean, think about it, you guys. You know, this guy was totally in love with this woman. They have kids together. And even if, like, he has the distraction of other women around because he's famous, you know, he's a football star, he can get whoever he wants, it's still not the same when you truly love someone. So a lot of his reports are reported, you know, crazy, which they have every right to be. But sometimes I could see if somebody was sitting in their house, you know, just sitting there stewing, maybe over something they said. And it could just be the littlest exchange of, like, when you had to pick up the kids and she said something about she was going to go out, and he would probably sit in his room and be like, well, where is he going to go out? You know? So at times it must have been nuts for the both of them, going on and off. And the two were like oil and water together, but also like two peas in a pod. Plus, a big thing here, they shared custody of the kids. So regardless, if they didn't even want to have interaction, they were going to have interaction. Nicole and OJ were so up and down. even after their divorce. And in May of 1994, it was reported that both OJ and Nicole were kind of still seeing each other on and off, but this time it looks like they were finally off for good, or at least according to Nicole. And when June hit, Nicole had finally been free from OJ for a few weeks, being able to focus back on her family and her kids. Ronald Lyle Goldman was born on July 2nd, 1968, to Sharon Rufo and Fred Goldman in Buffalo Grove, Illinois, near Chicago. In 1974, his parents divorced, and Ron lived with his mother for a short time before permanently going to live with his father and younger sister, Kim Goldman. He attended Adelaide E. Stevenson High School in Lincolnshire, Illinois. I think I said that name wrong. And eventually attended college for one semester at Illinois State University. And even pledged Sigma Nu fraternity before he dropped out, or basically left, and decided to move with his family to Southern California. When Ron grew up, he was a very handsome and loving young gentleman. He was reported being a camp counselor for some time and also volunteering to help special needs kids with cerebral palsy. So to me, it looks like Ron was a really great guy. Again, he was a super handsome frat boy. Now, as he moved to LA, he enrolled in Pierce College and began attending classes. He got into extracurricular activities like volleyball, rollerblading, and nightclubs. And he was a ladies' man and a very sociable person. I mean, come on, guys. How could you not like Ron? It's reported that Ron lived by himself, and he worked hard for that, especially living in LA, even if it was the 90s. He had many jobs. He was a model, tennis instructor, and a waiter. And even recently, just had gotten his EMT license. But one of the places he happened to work as a waiter was Mezzaluna, an Italian spot in Brentwood. It was a great place, and he made really good money. And ultimately, it was said that it was Ron's true passion. He had talked to his friends about the desire to open up his own bar or restaurant or nightclub one of these days. It was the route he always wanted to go, and he was good at it. He had dabbled a little bit in acting too, but owning his own spot was his true passion. And it looks like he did have a girlfriend for a while, but around this time, the story is he had recently broken up with her. So he was really fully concentrated on starting his own career. You know, Ron was the go-getter type, and he had lots of friends and was into probably making a name for himself in the area. You know, even if it was just work and doing odd jobs. It's not bad to have friends in high places. So about 6 weeks before June 12th, 1994, Ron happened to meet and become friends with Nicole Brown Simpson. So according to most reports, it looks like Ron and Nicole hit it off right away. I mean, like I said, you guys, how can you not like Ron? So they often hung out, they went to nightclubs together. And she even let him borrow her, Ferrari, you know, the matching one with OJ. But whatever, they're divorced now. She's making friends. And she's 35. So, you know, she's still hip and with it. And it is said that, I guess, Ron had had lunch with one of his friends, and his friend's name was Craig Clark. And one of the times Ron had happened to drive up in the Ferrari. So of course Craig was like, yo, well, whose Ferrari is that? And, you know, Ron had said, well, this is from my friend Nicole Brown Simpson. And, you know, I'm sure Craig was like, a friend? And Ron was like, yeah, a friend. And as far as anyone knew, Nicole and Ron were completely platonic. I think some people are probably rolling their eyes at this and they're like, come on, Trisha. Are you? No way. They must have been boning, right? Bone, 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 bone. But I don't know. You know, I've had plenty of younger guy friends that I didn't sleep with. And, you know, they were like 10 years apart. That's me and my best friend right now. We're 10 years apart and I have a fucking blast with her. So it may seem like a lot to some people, or you guys may just think that they were doing something, but I think they both kind of found comfort in each other's friendship around this time. It's funny to read the reports because, you know, I don't really remember a lot of hearing about, you know, Ron and Nicole when this whole case finally came around. But like, you know, I just think about it. You know, I would have been friends with Ron if I were her at 35, you know, just divorced. And I meet this hot 25, 6-year-old guy, you know, working. He's probably got a great personality. He was probably fun as fuck. And he probably was good taking out to the clubs, you know. He probably was the guy that, like, made sure things went cool for the night, you know, but wasn't creepy to people and wasn't creepy to you. So you felt comfortable hanging out with him. You know, those guys do exist. They are there, I think. So saying, I've had guy friends like that. So I definitely think that Ron and Nicole, as reported, could have been just a friendship. And who knows, I always think sometimes in a guy-girl relationship too, even if it's just a friendship, somebody always likes somebody more, you know? So maybe it was Ron that was kind of crushing on Nicole and she enjoyed the attention, you know, and just never really took it anywhere than that. Or maybe they got drunk one of the nights and made out or something. Who knows? Whatever. They were both having fun with each other, I think. And so at this point, it would be 1994. And Nicole and OJ have been divorced for 2 years with a very on and off again relationship, despite being divorced. Ron was this young 25-year-old kid that Nicole came across. He was full of laughter and life, which was a complete 180 from what she was dealing with OJ. Granted, you know, they didn't have as much history. So, Nicole had 2 kids, was 35, and divorced. Ron was 25 and vivacious. He had all the freedom. Spending a night partying with him would probably, like I said, be a great escape for Nicole. And I think also, too, she would, like, reward her friend with, you know, like, I'm just saying, if I was a celebrity woman and I had, like, a Ferrari and I was hanging out with my friend, you know, and he was like, oh, I got to go meet my friend. I'm going to go take the bus or, like, ride my bike. I'd be like, no, you can take my really cool car and look really cool in front of your friends, because who doesn't want their friends to look cool? Right? This is just what I think, you know? And I think it was a way of her also thanking Ron for their relationship. Like, you know, you don't know what the life of luxury is about. You know, here's a kid from Illinois coming to LA and he meets Nicole Brown Simpson. Freaking cool. But the point of all of this rambling that I did, I probably said the story like twice, but whatever. What I want you to know about this is, on the side, here you have OJ. OJ has been married to this woman who he still holds in high regard or just loves in some form. He has kids with her. And here he is seeing her with younger men or just having a good time. And this goes to the whole question of, you know, was he a classic abuser? And classic abusers get, I think, angry or fueled by their people that they want to control. So when he saw her having fun or saw her enjoying her life outside of him, it scared him. And it would cause him to get angry. So, you know, unfortunately, we'll never know the true story of what Ron and Nicole really were. And now this brings us to Sunday, June 12th, 1994. The day started out like any other. Nicole was up with the kids and was planning to have dinner later that evening with her mother and a few friends. They planned to meet at an Italian restaurant in the area called Mezzaluna. Ron started his day out just the same, minus kids. He got up and hung around for a bit. He was working the evening shift at Mezzaluna later that night. And it was also a pretty hectic day for the Simpson family because everyone was getting ready for Sydney's dance recital. At 6 p.m., Nicole and her kids attended the dance recital. OJ, the father, was present as well. At 6:30 p.m., Nicole, her mother, and friends ended up leaving the recital and went to dine at the restaurant Mezzaluna. Ron was working there that night but was not their personal waiter for the evening. At 8 p.m., Nicole and her children leave the restaurant and decide to go get ice cream before heading home. At 9:15 p.m., one of Nicole's sisters calls Mezzaluna to say that Nicole's mother forgot her eyeglasses. Ron Goldman then volunteers to drop the glasses off at Nicole's home. At 9:48 to 9:50 p.m., Ron leaves the restaurant with a white envelope containing the eyeglasses. And then, just before 11 p.m., a neighbor of Nicole's was out walking their dog, which was a white Akita, when the Akita started running towards a house and barking. Once the neighbor reached her dog, she found herself in front of Nicole Brown Simpson's home. And when she looked down, she noticed that the dog had blood covering all over the paws. Blood was even coming down from the steps. She dials 911. Somewhere around midnight, LAPD discover the bodies of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman. Nicole had been stabbed multiple times and was lying in a fetal position in her own blood just outside her front door. Her throat was slashed. It was cut so deep, she was almost decapitated. Ron was found also stabbed to death farther away from Nicole, more near the entrance. Both had defensive wounds. The scene that was left after Nicole and Ron were killed was the sound of two innocent children sleeping upstairs. A bubble bath that had just been run with candles to end a relaxing evening for such a busy, loving mom. Who in the world would commit such a horrific crime? Around 4:30 a.m., LAPD decide to go inform O.J. Simpson of his ex-wife's death. Upon arriving on the scene, LAPD report that they found Mr. Simpson's white Bronco outside his home. There was a trail of blood that led from the Bronco to the front door, and they also found a bloody glove in the yard. And O.J. Simpson was nowhere to be found when police knocked on his door that morning. O.J. had just caught a flight to Chicago the night before. It's CBD Store, located on 31801 Mission Trail in Lake Elsinore, California. You guys, this is Inland Empire's only premium CBD shop. You got the aches, you got the pains, you can't sleep. Stop in, you will not be disappointed. They have CBD infused water that is yummy. I've personally tried. Oils, tinctures, gummies, roll-ons, bath bombs, scrubs, lotions, and so much more. You guys have got to check it out for your one-stop CBD shop. Located in Lake Elsinore, California. Stop on in. Tell them At Tuesdays with Trisha sent you. Probably give you a nice high five because Let's face it, I'm not that relevant yet. So make me relevant, stop and buy, support your local businesses. I am going to leave all of you on that ginormous cliffhanger until next week. Don't be mad, because we are going to get into it. But your homework for all of this is to just think about this murder. Think about all of the things around just this murder. If you have to Google, or if you just want to think about what exactly happened, what do you think happened that evening? Do you think an intruder came in? Do you think it's someone that they knew? Do you think it's someone Ron knew? Was it an unsuspecting random? What exactly was it? And I'm leaving this on this for a reason, because this is the most biggest murder case of Southern California. Y'all need to stay tuned for next week's episode, because we are going to dive into Southern California's most infamous murder case. I will give you the ins and outs in all that nitty-gritty details of the O.J. Simpson trial. And don't shy away from these episodes, because if you think you remember everything about it, you know, and you ones know who I'm talking about, you know, and trust me, I think all of us are going to learn something new. I sure did. I'm also going to have a really cool special guest on. Yay for guests being back on the show, besides people who live in my home or near me. It's okay. I love you all. You know, I'm not being picky here. I'm just saying, you know, it's nice. And we'll be masked, you know, make sure. I'm also probably going to record the end of the episode, or like actually record us doing the episode, and I'll put it up onto Instagram Live, as long as I get permission from my guest to be able to do so, or maybe YouTube, because my daughter's been bugging me to start that. It's a lot, and TikTok is too short. It's only like a minute or something like that. But anyways, I hope all of you stay tuned for next week's episode because it's going to be a doozy. It's OJ Simpson, man. So till next time, see you next week on Tuesdays with Trisha. Check it out, my murderous basic bitches. This includes all genders. I have a way that you can totally support me. I love all your reviews on Apple Podcast. Please keep them coming. They are completely free to go on to Apple, look up Tuesdays with Trisha, give me 5 stars, and write a review. But I am doing my podcast through Anchor, and Anchor has been super supportive. I have made money completely with no minimum listenership. And it's super cool, but I finally have a way for you guys to support me because I need to level up. I need to pull this game to the next level, and I want to continue to do this. And the only way I can do it is with your support. So there's a way for you to do this. If you go on to anchor.fm/Tuesdays with Trisha/support, there are 3 options that you have. You have a 99 cent, a $4.99, and a $9.99. If you want to support this and keep me going, please feel free to sign up in any way. It would mean the world to me to have just anything. So I love you all. Thank you so much for listening. I also want to keep doing this for as free for as long as I can. And the more I get support, the better I can end up popping out all these super awesome episodes for free for you guys. But, you know, the support always helps. Anyways, thank you for listening. And I hope you enjoy and stay tuned. Till next time. See you next week on Tuesdays with Trisha.
Don't forget to listen to Tuesdays with Trisha.
And don't forget to wash your hands, stay safe, and don't forget to listen to Tuesdays with Trisha.